As we start out the 2012 year, as we just sang, what are we living for? We're going to be in the Gospel of John, John chapter 17. This is truly the Lord's Prayer, the high priestly prayer of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's going to be praying for us. And as we go down through this, we're going to see, what are you living for? What are you living for? You're going to see what Jesus' desire for us to live for. And as I put other scriptures with this sermon, we're going to see, as we start out the year 2012, what are we living for? But first, let's open up the prayer. Father, once again, we are so thankful that you allowed us to gather here on this New Year's Day to go back into your Word. Father, as I continually ask every Sunday, that you'll open up the hearts, the eyes, the ears of the hearers that's going to listen to this sermon, your Word, and draw them unto yourself. Supernaturally change your lives by the power of your Word and your Holy Spirit. And once again, Father, empower me by your Holy Spirit to preach your Word for your glory. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. The Gospel of John. In your bulletins, we're going to be looking at three things today. As we go through John 17, we're going to see Jesus prays for Himself. Jesus prays for His disciples. And Jesus prays for future believers. As we go through, I'm going to share once again some great commentary from Pastor John MacArthur. I want to open up with that. We're going to open up with the hour. The hour has come. And then I'm going to read to you the entire chapter 17 of the Gospel of John. And then we're going to come back and look at the three things. So the hour has come. The phrase refers to the consummation of His earthly ministry, encompassing His death, His resurrection, and His ascension. The unfolding drama of redemptive history has reached its apex. Plans made in eternity past were finding their culmination in time. The hour had come in which the Son of Man would offer Himself as the perfect and only atoning sacrifice for sin. The hour has come when the sinless one would be made sin for believers that they might become the righteousness of God in Him. The hour had come when Christ would cancel the certificate of debt consisting of decrees against us, which was hostile to us, taking it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. This was the hour when the Old Testament prophecies of the Messiah's death would be fulfilled. When the serpent's head would be bruised, when the suffering servant, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, would be pierced through for our transgressions, would be crushed for our iniquities, and have the chastening for our well-being fall upon Him, so that by His scourging we are healed. It was the hour when the shadows of the Old Testament sacrifices would give way to the glorious reality of the final sacrifice, the Lamb of God. It was the hour of Christ's triumph over the prince of this world and the kingdom of darkness. It was the climactic hour when God, through Christ's sacrifice, would defeat sin, death, and Satan, and redeem a people for Himself. With the hour of supreme suffering and even greater victory at hand, and with His terrified and heartbroken disciples still surrounding Him, the Lord lifted His eyes to heaven and prayed. John 17, verses 1 through 26. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son also may glorify You. As You have given Him authority over all flesh, that He should give eternal life to as many as You have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. I have glorified You on the earth. I have finished the work which You have given Me to do. And now, O Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, with the glory which I had with You before the world was. I have manifested Your name to the men whom You have given Me out of the world. They were Yours. You have gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. Now, They have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them. And they know surely that I came forth from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those who you gave me, I kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love which you love me may be in them, and I in them. Many things going on here. We're going to break down just a few of them. Number one, we're going to see, starting off in verse 1 through 5, Jesus prayed for himself. Jesus prayed for himself. Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory which I had with you before the world was. You see, the hour has come. Throughout the Gospel of John, Jesus referred to the cross as his hour. The time for him to die had arrived. So to glorify your Son, so your Son may glorify you, he said. And the cross, Jesus Christ, reveals the Father to the world. In what ways? He reveals the Father to the world in love and justice. You see, God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God had to send his Son to the sin-bent world because he had to have a perfect sacrifice to take away the sin of the world. You see, Jesus' death on the cross provided forgiveness of sins and eternal life to all those who believe in him. The hour has come. The hour had come. He said, glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. Throughout Jesus' ministry, Scripture tells us that Jesus continually sought to glorify the Father. So when Jesus prays for himself in number one, we see, he said, glorify your Son, that your Son may glorify you. John is back in John 7:18, the Scripture says, he who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Back in John 13, verse 31 and 32. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. You see, the hour has come, as we read, refers to Jesus' death, burial, resurrection. Jesus' earthly ministry was about finished, and Jesus would be exalted. Over in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, the Scripture says, "Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." We see that exaltation. We see over in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11, but I'll read verses 5 through 8 first. Paul said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance of a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Once again, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 through 21, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf to be reconciled to God." Verse 21, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." So we see, partly on number one, Jesus prays for himself, that God would glorify him, that the Son of Man would be glorified, and that God through that would be glorified. Because he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we see that Jesus' hour had come. He said, "My hour has come." His earthly ministry was finished. He's about to die, be buried, and resurrection, and resurrected. Also, Jesus prays for himself. We see his declaration. John 17, verse 2, let me read that to you. "As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him." We see Christ stating he has authority over all flesh, authority over everything. Back in John chapter 3, verse 35, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand." Philippians 2, now let's go down to verse 9 and read verse 9 through 11. "Therefore God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So he says in John 17:2, "As you have given him authority over all flesh." John chapter 5, verse 22 through 30. "For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son, just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and it shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection, a condemnation. I can of myself do nothing, as I hear I judge. And my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Over in Matthew 11, verse 27, all things have been delivered by me, to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal Him. See, as we keep going, and we keep adding text to this, we see that Jesus' declaration, He has authority over all flesh, authority over everything. He has authority to give eternal life. As He says in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. This is an absolute sovereign authority, and lordship over all is given unto Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This verse 28:18 of Matthew is another clear proof of Jesus' deity. We see He has authority over flesh, authority over everything. We see that Christ will give the gift of eternal life. Let's go back. Let me share with you the story of Nicodemus, John chapter 3. John chapter 3. The Christ will give the gift of eternal life. John 3, verse 1 through 16. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to Him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to Him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 1 John 5:11 states, and this is a testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. 1 John 5:20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding, that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God in eternal life. So many other texts we could put in here. We see that Jesus Christ has authority over all flesh, over everything. And we see that Jesus Christ gives eternal life to whom He will. What is this eternal life? Once again, to the commentary, the essence of eternal life is participation in the blessed everlasting life of Christ through union with Him. It is the life of God in the soul of man. Because believers have Christ's life in them, they also possess His peace, His love, and His joy. The life that God predetermined to give the redeemed is a life of shared communion with Him. Eternal life refers to a quality of life, not just a quantity of life. It is much more than living forever. It's enjoying intimate fellowship with God both now and forever. Because eternal life is a quality of life, it is not only a future possession, but also presents reality. In John 5:24, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God." John wrote, "so that you may know that you have eternal life." Thus, believers enjoy eternal life, even now, as they experience the rich blessings that come through their personal and intimate fellowship with Christ. Of course, they will most fully experience that life in the age to come, when they see Christ face to face, and worship Him in the perfect, unending glory and joy of heaven. So Jesus prays for Himself. We see that He would be glorified and that He would glorify the Father in heaven. We see that Christ's proclamation, He proclaimed, He has authority over all flesh, authority over everything. He gives eternal life to whom He will. At the powerful statements at the opening of Jesus' prayer. Now, let's go down to verse 6. Jesus prays for His disciples. Once again, let me read the text to you. John 17, verse 6 through 19. "I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they kept your word. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you. For I have given to them the words which you have given me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came forth from you, and they believe that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I am glorified in them. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you. Holy Father, keep through your name those you have given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." A couple of things I want to point out here to us. Yes, we are supernaturally protected by the mighty hand of God. Protected from the destruction of Satan and all his wicked forces. Let me take you back once again to the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 25 through 30. Jesus answered him, "I told you and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice," Jesus says, "and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." As Jesus says here, no one can snatch them out of His hand. In His priestly prayer, He says, "I have kept them in your name." He says, "I have lost none." He will never lose anyone. He will supernaturally protect me and you, His true children, from destruction, from Satan and all his wicked forces. But I want to focus here. I want to focus on sanctify and truth. As we start this new year, you see, Jesus prayed for His disciples. He knows He's going to the Father in heaven. They're going to be left behind in this world. He said in verse 17 or 16 through 19, once again, John 17. He says, "They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." He said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." As you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." Jesus said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Sanctify means to set apart. Sanctification, a setting apart for something for special use. There are two ways to understand this statement. Separate for holiness and service. According to the first, Jesus was praying not only for that the disciples should keep them from the evil one, but they should advance. Advance in holiness, advance in sanctification. We're set apart to be sanctified. Sanctified by the truth. Sanctification seems to refer to the disciples' mission also, indicating that sanctified may also mean that Jesus was setting the disciples apart to do the work of the ministry. And he says to sanctify them by what? Sanctify them, set them apart by the truth. You're sanctified, set apart to read God's truth, to know how to go out and make disciples. You see, your word is truth is a strong statement of Jesus's. He said, "Your word is truth." You can put your confidence in His word, in the Bible. You see, people's opinions, I should say, may vary. Their experiences may vary. But there's one thing that does not vary, and that's God's Word. He says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth." Psalm 19, verse 7 through 14. The psalmist declares the law of the Lord. "The law of the Lord is perfect," he says, "converting the soul." Psalm 19, verse 7 through 14. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That's why when you preach the law. Because the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. People need to know that they have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. You can't live your life the way you want to live it. You're supposed to be sanctified, set apart by the truth, God's Word. And he says, "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. And in keeping them there is a great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer." See how powerful the word of the Lord is? The law of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, the precepts of the Lord, the statutes of the Lord. He says, Jesus says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Over in 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 through 17. "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away in the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Remember, Jesus said, we are to be sanctified. We are to be set apart for a special use. Remember, you are sanctified, set apart for a special use. Do not let the world, the flesh, or the devil mold you into its image. Let God mold you into His Son's image, Jesus Christ, by the Word and the Holy Spirit. We are to be sanctified, set apart. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 17. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 17. "For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you do not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with your spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. And over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So as you can see, Jesus said, we are sanctified. We are to be sanctified, set apart for the use for His glory by the truth. The truth. Now look at that truth again. Truth is God's truth. God's truth contained in Scripture. Not made up on man's wisdom. It is supernaturally inspired by God, which is His Word. Over in Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah chapter 40, verse 6 through 8 says, the voice said, cry out. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 97 through 105. Psalm 119, verse 97 through 105. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse 22 through 25. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away. But the Word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is a word which by the gospel was preached to you. Over in 2 Timothy verses 15 through 17. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15 through 17. And that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So see how important, as Jesus prayed for His disciples then, He says, we are supernaturally protected. We are sanctified. We are sanctified, a setting apart for something for special use, the use of God. We shouldn't love the things of the world. We shouldn't let the flesh, the world, or the devil overcome us. Because, as Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. We are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that we are sanctified by the truth. God's truth. God's truth contained in Scripture. The Old Testament and the New Testament. As Psalm 119, 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, number three, before we conclude, back to the opening text. Let's go down to verse 26, 20 through 26 of John 17. John 17, verse 20 through 26. Jesus prays for future believers. He said, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they also may be one as you, Father, and me, and I in you, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me, and have loved me, and have loved them as you have loved me. Verse 24, Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me, and I have declared to them your name, and will declare it, that the love with which you love me may be in them, and I in them. A couple of things here before we conclude. Jesus says that they should be one body. One body. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me, and I in you. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that you sent me. This one body, the body of Christ, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. For as a body is one, and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being one are many, so also in Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 through 13. Because Jesus said that they all may be one, as you, Father, in me, and I in you. One body, where when God saves us, He supernaturally puts us in the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. You see, this glory, He says, back to John 17, in verse 22, Jesus says, in the glory which you have given me, I have given them. What is that glory? We know what it is. We just read it. That one body. How are we one body? That glory refers to the Holy Spirit. You see, this refers to the believers' participation in all the attributes and the essence of God through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit as salvation. As I said, when we are saved by grace, God puts us in the body of Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are one body. He had made us to drink into one Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 through 6, Paul says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling in which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He says, there's one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all, the Holy Spirit. He said, one body. Jesus prayed for the future believers that they are all one body. We are one body. Also, He says, that they may be with Him. They may be with Christ. Verse 24, John 17 says, Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, may be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which you have given me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. What a request! And God's going to grant that request to His Son, Jesus Christ. He said in back, if you recall, back in John 14, verse 1 through 3, let me read that to you. Up in the upper room again, before the night He was crucified, Jesus said to the disciples, John 14, 1 through 3, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. What a comfort He's given us. We know that absent from the body, presence with the Lord. From 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Starting in verse 5 through 8, he says, "Now, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has also given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight." Verse 8 says, "For we are confident, yes, well pleased rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." So as we conclude here, we've seen that Jesus prays for Himself, that He may be glorified so He can glorify the Father. We've seen that Christ declared that He has authority over all flesh, authority over everything, and that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We see that, as Jesus prayed, that He gives eternal life to whom He will. Then He also, as He prays for His disciples, that we are supernaturally protected by Him and by the Father, and that we are sanctified. We are sanctified, set apart for a special use, and we are sanctified by the truth, and that His Word is truth. We are no longer ours. We are bought with a price, bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And that the truth, this truth that we are to be sanctified with, is God's truth contained in Scripture, the Old Testament and the New Testament. But as we put on our God's little promises today, James 1:22, we must, as the text says, but be doers of the Word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. And I want to conclude this morning with just a summary of John chapter 17 from a commentary of John MacArthur. You see, the closing verses of this prayer seems to radiate, as he says, Christ's confidence that the righteous Father would grant His request. God is righteous in everything He does. He's righteous in His judgments. He's righteous in His deeds. He's righteous in His ordinances. He's righteous in His Word. They're all righteous. Jesus reiterated the point He made earlier in verse 9. His request was not for the world, which has not known Him. The Father, and they have no right. They have no right. Let me paraphrase this. They have no right for the special care of Jesus Christ's intercession for them. Then he says, apart from faith in Jesus Christ, sinners face only eternal judgment. If you have never trusted Christ your Lord and Savior, the only thing you face when you die is judgment. Eternal judgment. And in John 3:18, Jesus warned, "He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And then John the Baptist adds, in John 3:36, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." Not only had Jesus perfectly known the Father from all eternity, but He has also made His name known to His followers who had known Him that the Father has sent Him. You see, the Lord's mission was to lead lost sinners into a personal relationship with God, which comes only through the knowledge of Him. Jesus initially makes the Father known at the moment of salvation, and then continues to make Him known to believers through the process of sanctification. And finally, He ushers them into the Father's heavenly presence at their glorification. His goal is that, even now, that they might experience the love with which the Father loved Christ, and by knowing the love of Christ, which surpasses all knowledge, that they might be filled up with all the fullness of God. You see, God's love is poured out on believers at salvation. It continues in them as Christ indwells them, and is fulfilled perfectly in them in heaven. And as he says here, Christ's request in this, the greatest prayer ever prayed, may be summed up in 7 words. Let me give you them words he shares with us. The Lord prayed for believers. For what? Their preservation. He says, "Holy Father, keep them in your name. He prayed for jubilation, that they may have my joy made full in themselves. He prayed for liberation, keep them from the evil one. He prayed for their sanctification. He says, sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth. He prayed for unification, that they may all be one. He prayed for association. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am. And he also prayed for glorification, that they may see my glory. And as we close this morning, Jesus' priestly prayer, he prayed for himself. He prayed for disciples. And he prays for future believers. But only for those, as he says, that come to faith in him. He does not pray for the world. He prays for his own. And let's pray. Father, as we close this morning, once again, I want to thank you for your word that we can look into and know. We study and meditate your word and look at the world through the eyes of the Bible, that the world is different and we shouldn't be as the world is. As I read from your word, we cannot let the world overcome us. We cannot be caught up in the ways of the world, the flesh, the world or the devil. We must, by the power of the Holy Spirit, walk in obedience to your word and your ways. Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We must meditate on that. Learn how to live our lives by your word as we allow your Holy Spirit to sink your word deep into our hearts. Help us not to get caught up in this world. You pray for us. What a promise to know that by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can say no to the world, the flesh, and the devil, and that we're going to be with you one day. And as we sang earlier, I prayed, we all want to hear, as I want to hear, well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. We want it for your glory because you are worthy. Father, I pray that those who are listening that never has come and trusted Christ as their Savior, that when they hear your word, as it was read, and we read a lot of scripture this morning, that they will fall on their knees and cry out for salvation. And that you'll supernaturally transform their lives. And I pray for believers. Help us not to get caught up and let the world mold us into its image. We must remain as good soldiers of Jesus Christ to stand. To stand upon your word, to love your law, to love your judgments. And to go against what the world says is right. Because we know what your word says, and it does not match up with what the world says is right. We want it for your glory and not man's. In Christ's name I pray, amen.